So, resuming our study in the book of Galatians, and today we're in Galatians 6, which of course means we start in chapter 1, verse 1. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Gotta stop there for a second. This past Tuesday, we were talking about the Tuesday morning Bible study. We talked about the resurrection, and Jerry did that study. Just amazing how many times that phrase, God who raised him from the dead, or some version of that. But in the book of Acts, the first 6-7 books of Acts, the number of times, like 15-17 times, God who raised him from the dead, who raised Christ from the dead. Gospel of God. And that's the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. Anyway, verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Now, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 in our... So we left off in verse 5 last week. So 6 to 10 will be our text for today. But to catch the context, we'll start in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, so we left off in verse 5 last week. So verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And every one of us is taught, this is definitely a rule of Paul's, and every one of us is taught by somebody, and maybe by many people, and I would encourage you to be studying with more than one individual, especially in this day of the internet. We can get graceforall.net and study with Brother Jerry Lockhart every Tuesday night, every Wednesday night live, and if you can't make it live, you can study when it's convenient for you, because on the internet we also have these things called recordings. Makes it great. Steve Atwood, understandingyourbible.com, another great Bible teacher. Because the first part of this, let him that is taught in the Word. Okay, so each one of us is in the first part of that. We're all taught. The question is, in the Word. Taught what? We're all taught a lot of things. What Paul's talking about here is being taught in the Word. And 2 Corinthians 4 would give us a good start. If we wanted to really define that, whittle down, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So this defining that being taught in the Word. And this one might be more how not. Well, both how to and how not. Chapter 4, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, so not handling the word of God deceitfully. And we talked many weeks, so we're not going to this morning, about how men do that. And it happens left and right on Sunday mornings across America, around the world. But the point is being taught in the Word. And that's why I threw out the two men, Brother Steve Atwood, Brother Jerry Lockhart, as men that I would encourage, by the fact that you're sitting here, you know, most Sundays here with this guy. Those would be two guys that I would highly encourage you to study under. I would consider both of them mentors of mine. Of course, Brother Jerry Lockhart married Kim and I, married my oldest daughter and her husband. Brother Steve Atwood preached the night I got saved. So those two guys are kind of near and dear to our hearts for sure. When we, I'll say the first 5 to 10 years or so of our married life, we felt very blessed to have Brother Jerry, well, the first couple years, Brother Jerry, before he moved, before you Texans stole him from us. But Brother Jerry Lockhart and Brother Moore, Brother E.C. Moore, had them every week. Dusty Rhodes, Art Watkins, back when he was teaching a mid-ex dispensation position. So it was great to have three or four teachers that we could learn from. At the same point, there may come a time where you've got to say, you know, I may need to take a few months and just study this myself. Especially if there's, I don't think you'd ever have that issue with Jerry Lockhart, Steve Atwood, and myself. With the guys, when Art Watkins started going a different direction, we had to get to that point. Okay, what saith the Scripture? And if ever you find yourself just, you know, I'm not sure. At points like that, and maybe I'm saying this as much for the tape as anything, you do need to just get away for a few months and just study yourself. If there's a specific issue, don't listen to men. And get to the Scripture yourself. Be like those Bereans in Acts chapter 17, right? They didn't take it until they saw it in the Scriptures, and that being the key. You've got to see it in the Scriptures. And so sometimes if you're seeing two different points, and some, I think a term we use is it's not a hill to die for. All right, some, you know, doesn't really matter. But some, if it's really doctrine, you may want to think about, and that thing can definitely be unplugged. If you want to put it in there, because if that door shut, it will get pretty ripe in there. That's what that fan is really for. So if ever you get to that point, just do it. Because at the end of our time, matter of fact, if we get far enough in this study, we'll have some scriptures about this today in the first hour. But our last days on earth, you know, when we go to be with the Lord, when we have that judgment day, it is between us and the Lord only, and it is, what did we do with this word? Okay? And you can't say, well, Jerry Lockhart taught me, or Steve taught me. No, you had the same King James Version Bible. What did you do with it? Were you like those Bereans in Acts 17, 11, and 12? And you searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So you're not going to be able to blame it on me. I assure you, I'm trying as hard as I can to only preach things that I feel very grounded in, because, as I've shared some Scriptures with you before, when you're on this end of the pulpit, you're held accountable for the things that you teach people. I'll be held accountable that day for the things that I teach you out of this word. Okay, that being said, let's get back to all of us.
You better get it right.
Yeah. So let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So we're being taught. We're being taught in the word. So the key things are, what are we learning in the word? And those are the people, those are the directions that we want to then fulfill the rest of the verse of verse 6, communicating unto him that teaches. So again, each one of us has at least one, and I'm encouraging you to have two or three that are like-minded. You know, I'm not suggesting that you follow, okay, this guy's grace dispensation, this guy is a good, you know, follows good Catholic doctrine, and this guy's good tongues movement. Charismatic, thank you. You know, charismatic, so I'll study under all three of these, you want to talk about confusion. Whoa. Okay, so studying under the Word, again, Brother Atwood, Brother Jerry Lockhart, we're all like-minded in our doctrine and the things that we believe. Okay, so communicating unto them that teacheth. Let's look at a couple verses that would go along with this. So a first one would be coming over to Philippians in chapter 4. Now, rule of Paul, communicate unto him that teaches you in the Word. And in Philippians, comes after Ephesians. How did Philippians get six chapters? Because I'm in Ephesians. In Philippians chapter 4, I really want to pick up the whole context of this. So to do it, we need to start in verse 10. Philippians 4:10. And Paul says, start in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's my second favorite verse in the Bible right there, by the way. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me, there's that word communicated, with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all. So that verse 17 is a key verse in this, that Paul is really getting through to this. Okay? The Lord's going to provide for a ministry. All right, so whether each one of us decides to participate in communicating unto him that teacheth, it's fruit to your account is what he's saying here. All right, and that's the way we should look at it, because we're all taught by somebody. And so therefore we all should be looking at this as to the person we're taught.
So 17 is saying that I want to basically spread the word to you.
Nope. I think it says, give me money and we'll talk.
Okay, not because, let me try some, I hate the term in other words, because always it's like, well, so let me say better what the verse is saying, but in other words, and not better than what it said. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Not because the ministry, Paul is saying, not because this ministry is in need of your money, but because Paul desired a gift that would be counted to these Philippians' account. Each one of us has an account. When we have our judgment day before the Lord, going back to what we were saying earlier, when we at judgment day, we have an account. Remember, our works have nothing to do with our salvation. But from the day we're saved forward, our works are all in the equation for the judgment seat. Colossians, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I was going to do this later in this, but let's go ahead over now to 1 Corinthians 3. Just make things where they fit in the discussion here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Come down to verse 12. Now, we'll just keep reading there. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, 10 and 11 there, this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, okay, the judgment day of Christ, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, whether it's unto glory or unto no glory. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward, as it said in Colossians 3. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, as it said in Colossians 3. He'll receive for the wrong that he does. But notice the rest of verse 15 there. So, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, okay, yet so as by fire. Okay, so we receive a reward, and we receive for the wrong. All right, so that is our judgment day. The judgment seat of Christ happens at the rapture. And we're on our way to be with the Lord at that time to go get our eternal bodies, our heavenly bodies. There's a judgment there. And that's when that will take place. So back to Galatians 6. Oh, Philippians 4 is where we were, actually. So back to Philippians 4. So, not verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. Okay? But we all have an account.
I thought that fruit was the word, or what is it?
No, the fruit would be more, back in Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. But fruit abounding to your account. Again, we all have, in a sense, that's where our ledger is. Some of you, I'm pointing over here, were involved in a religion that was very big on having a ledger. You know, the good things on this side, the bad things on this side. We all know which religion I'm referring to over here, right?
Santa Claus.
Yeah, right.
So what you said? Like Santa Claus?
Okay, use that one, like Santa Claus. All right? And if your good works outweigh the bad works, then you make it. And if your bad works don't, you know, you're in trouble. Or if your bad works outweigh the good works, you're in trouble. You know, not so. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Okay, back to Galatians 6. Another good passage that goes with this this part. So again, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Another passage in 2 Corinthians would be chapter 9. So while you're turning there, I'm going to read Galatians 6:6 and actually add verse 7. Okay, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we'll get into sowing and reaping now. As we move on in the verses. So in 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, so once again, each of us as the givers, that verse 8, we'll always be having all sufficiency in all things.
In this world?
That. I'm sorry?
In this world?
In this world. And come back to Philippians 4. Doesn't necessarily mean everything we want. I mean all sufficiency. Not that you meant that.
Sufficiency is the word.
Yes, there you go. Go back to Philippians 4 again as well. Because I stopped reading, I should have added two more verses there. In Philippians 4, I'm going to start in verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now the next two verses. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And here's the verse now. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Is that what your verse said?
No.
No, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? So each of us as givers, these two passages, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, Philippians 4, 19, you'll claim those. Absolutely claim those. But my God shall supply all your need, and we're the yours in there. Okay, Paul's saying, but my God, Paul's God, shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right, so those are promises that we have. Back to 2 Corinthians now 8, 2 Corinthians 9. Okay, so verse 7 there is our attitude towards giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't feel you have to. We are in the dispensation of grace. It's not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? I will share a story here, only because I've heard it shared from pulpits before. But I happened to be there and witness this firsthand because it was Brother Moore, Brother Jerry, myself, and another person. I don't even remember who the guy is. I don't even know if I ever saw him more than once. But at the end of a Bible study, and you know, you all know how most of the men that we study with, none of them pass a plate. It's strictly people just come up and get a check, or maybe they mail one in the mail, whatever, is how giving is done. So that. Anyway, it's just how it is. And we were standing there, and a man came up and slipped a check into, you know, Brother Moore just standing there, and he had a pocket here. And the man slipped the check into his pocket. And what I'm talking about now is verse 7 there. So let him give not grudgingly. I want to give you an example of grudgingly. The man put a check in Brother Moore's pocket, and Jerry and I, you know, we're standing there, we saw it. But the conversation, the guy stood there, and we're having a conversation, and Brother Moore said something about his motorhome. And for those of you that may not, Brother Moore had a circuit. You know, he lived in Pensacola, Florida, and they had a church there on Sundays. And then, like, Monday night, he'd be in Selma, Alabama. Tuesday night, they'd be in Montgomery. Thursday, up in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm talking, like, 5-8 hours, you know, with you apart. So in this motorhome is what he and Mrs. Moore, Bernice, would take to each of these studies. And they lived in the motorhome each place. They didn't have to stay in a hotel. Okay, so I'm just setting up why he's got the motor, you know, the main use of his motorhome. And this man said, excuse me, Brother Martin, let me just ask you a question. Is my money going to be used to fund your motorhome? Brother Moore, Brother Moore just looked at him, as only Brother Moore can do, and I'm even going to try to imitate him, but he always wore glasses. When he looks over the top rim of his glasses, you knew you were in trouble. He just reached in his pocket, and he says, I don't think the Lord needs your money. And really emphasized that your money, because the guy said, is my money going to be used towards your motorhome? My motorhome or the Lord needs your money for this ministry. Just handed it back to him. And, it's like, whoa.
What did that guy do?
Oh, man, that may have been why I never saw him again.
Yeah,
that's why I never saw him again. Duh. But I just, you know, I'll never forget that. And that was, you know, both sides of that. And it, you know, that was.
You know, the first sign there was him doing it publicly.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I agree with that. You're right. It reminds you of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You know, those that want to do things to be seen of men.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's exactly what he was doing.
Exactly, yeah.
He knew it was going south from there.
Right. Okay, so back to our study. So attitude is key. You know, definitely, you know, God loveth the cheerful giver. Let's just focus on that part of verse 7 there. But just like the other side of the grace, being in the dispensation of the grace of God, you know, I'll just say all 613 commandments. You know, none of us is going to be punished for doing or not doing the things that those commandments and ordinances command to do or command not to do at a different dispensation in time, we would have been. But in this dispensation, the year 2014, the dispensation of the grace of God, we're not. Should we not do those things the Ten Commandments say not to do? Yep. We'd sure live a cleaner life, wouldn't we? And would it be a good idea to, you know, the dietary laws, you know, would those still apply? I mean, sure, it's still a good thing, but it has nothing to do with our position with God. Just in living a healthy lifestyle, yeah, there's things there that would be good practices you might want to practice in your life. But are we commanded to in the name of pleasing God? No. Are they things we should do? Yeah. Even though, let's take the Ten Commandments, you know, the things thou shalt not, yeah. But again, is it going to have any effect on our salvation if we do? No. Okay. And same thing, you know, that's you put giving right in the same thing, same classification. But still Colossians 3, we receive a reward for the good that we do, we will receive for the wrong that we do. Okay. Most cases there, as we discussed when we were going through those, the good, I want to emphasize what the good is usually related to getting out of the gospel of Christ. Either you sharing your testimony with someone, and that's absolutely a jewel in your crown for receiving reward at the judgment day of Christ. Okay? Showing somebody scripture to help them understand an issue they're having. Bringing somebody to a Bible study. The wrong is more related to the same, having an opportunity. Somebody says, what must I do to be saved? And you say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have time to tell you right now, but ask me next week. Figuratively speaking, if you will. All right, so that would be for the, that's more for the wrong that you do, having an opportunity to further the gospel of Christ, to further the word rightly divided, and not taking advantage of that opportunity. We receive for the wrong that we do. Galatians 6. Okay. Verse 6 was, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. By the way, all good things. Let's talk about that for a minute. Obviously, a lot, usually when we hear this taught and preached, it's in relation to giving. Again, tithing is no part of today. That is not in the dispensation of grace. I remember just a year, 2 years ago now, a business we were putting together. But anyway, one of the secretaries was Mormon, and she was needing to have, and she's like 70, and needing to have a very serious operation. And so the Mormons have a very specific council that you can go to with needs like that about taking care of the church. And you go and present your case. And actually, one of the different steps, but anyway, you just go to the, I don't know what they call their, anybody know what they call their preachers? Pastors? Let's just call them the pastor of the church. But it was in Salt Lake City. She actually went to Salt Lake City to have this discussion with the guy. But anyway, he went through the records, and he said, well, you haven't, you know, we don't have any record of you giving 10%, so no. No, the answer is no. That was exactly, I mean, she told the story back there, and she was still defending her church. Well, I hadn't given my 10%, so they shouldn't. Anyway, I just share with you that some take that very seriously, and it's not a doctrine for today. Where does Paul, for that matter, where is 10% even the right tithe, even when it was in place?
Then they used, wouldn't the words tenfold?
Tenfold and a tenth are part of discussions, but that wasn't what the tithe actually was. It actually, what is it, every seventh year, it's actually more than that even. So, but not for today, so let's not, I don't want to go there. All right, just the fact is, there are many denominations that will jump all over the tithe and making sure they're emphasizing you're giving your 10%, and then you will even literally keep track. I mean, they want to see your W-2s. I mean, there are some in this country that do that. You've got to show your W-2, and you want to be a member of this church, thou shalt give your 10%. No, absolutely wrong. And then you wonder why people give grudgingly. You know, maybe in a case like that, you know, that is not scriptural. Okay, Galatians 6. Oh, teaching and all, communicating in all good things. I'm going to ask you to communicate to this teacher this Tuesday in something, what I would consider a good thing. Could I ask for your prayers at 7:30 in the morning? I'm getting an opportunity to stand in front of a men's Bible study that I've been attending for a year, and or for a year and a half. But they're giving me the pulpit for a class to teach what dispensationalism is. So, if you would. Yeah, because most of these guys are from Stone Ridge. If Nancy was here, she'd know it. It's the one on BK Road. One of the, you know, big, huge church there. It doesn't matter anyway. Most of the guys go there, but a bunch go on this one right down here, 183 Grace Covenant Church. Grace.
Right there at Mopac 183?
Yes, that one. Right there, right at the intersection, exactly. And the other, and I know one of the main guys is going to, it will be there Tuesday. Is from that church.
It's a large non-denominational church.
Yeah, it just says Grace up on the building.
Yeah, it says Grace. Grace Covenant Church is what it says, or Grace. Anyway, so I'm getting a chance, so if you would, pray about that. Yeah. Like, if I could ask you to do that. It's just a great, and then Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, I'm getting a chance to teach at this Baptist church again, right down Lake Creek Parkway, Anderson Mill Baptist Church. So you'll keep those two in mind, opportunities to preach the gospel of Christ. And, you know, one thing the Baptists definitely preach the right gospel. Sometimes, depending on which church you're at, they may add a few things a little too strongly, where they can be perverting the gospel of Christ, as Paul says in Galatians 1. But communicating in all good things. So it's not just money that he's talking about there, okay? Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And notice in verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh, so sowing to the flesh is to our own flesh, as opposed to it shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, not his Spirit, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, so let's grab a couple of verses to go along with this now. First, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, and here's where I really want to go, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Okay, so verse 12 in particular, you know, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, and the grace of God is teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. So while we live in the dispensation of grace and we're not held accountable for those, we should live these things. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. While we're back here, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Again, going with verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Chapter 5, starting in verse 17, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And we went into verse 19 last week. Again, there are sometimes, and well, that's not in our organization, so we'll just let it organization. In our assembly here, we don't have any. But if, let's say, Brother Steve Atwoods, you know, he does have, you know, 100 people that are there every Sunday. You know, they do have different, there's several different teachers, many classes going on at the same time. So the elders, certainly, there would be need for more of an elders group there. I consider all the men here elders in some cases, because if you ever, I've asked you before, you ever hear things taught up here that you're saying, wait a minute, is that really in accordance? You know, heard Jerry say this, or Brother Moore on the tape say that. Where I see in the scripture this, hey, bring it on. You know, a look to you as those, maybe like a corporation, you know, the stockholders are the, who's holding us accountable. Are we doing our jobs right? And you're the stockholders in this case. I hope that makes sense. Driving myself a drink.
Pull the feet to the fire.
All right. Let's see, I need to move along here. It took a little bit of time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Jumping into the middle here, but give me a second, make sure that's where I wanted to go. We'll go ahead and read this. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, and here's where we go, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay, and we can all look at taking that, again, an attitude. So many of these things are attitudes. Okay, when we're weak, Christ is strong. And you know what? You're probably looking at me going, wait a minute, I thought you said 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So, just want to make sure you're paying attention. I was wondering why I had that, so I said, let me go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. And this, I got myself all flustered here. Give me a second. Galatians 6. Okay. Now, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's start in verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them, or do you service, to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, if you remember that from Philippians 4 as well. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Okay? So the gospel is going to be preached, and that's the main thing. No matter what, the gospel will be preached. So as we get through 7 and 8, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, you know, we're not earning that. We have, you know, we're sealed at the moment of salvation. Okay? But we're reaping those rewards for life everlasting. Okay? Verse 9, and, so because of the last few verses, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right, so some things we can talk about there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, in due season, there is a due time. And that time would be like in verse 5. And he says, therefore, judge nothing before the time, due season, until the Lord come. There you go. It's the rapture of the church. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Okay, that's when we reap. Okay, so let's come back. Gary, I think a question earlier, you know, on this earth, and I don't remember the exact verse right now, but you're talking on this earth or later. Okay, this is when we're reaping. And whatsoever ye shall reap, then shall ye sow. Now this, okay, this is when, or whatsoever ye shall sow, that shall ye also reap. This is when we reap. It's verse 5 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Okay? Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Okay? That's when we're reaping what we sowed. Right there.
At judgment.
At judgment. At judgment. The judgment seat of Christ.
We got a question for 7 hours.
Okay. And so again, that's what would go along with what we read earlier in Colossians 3. You know, whichever you do, it heartily is unto the Lord, not unto men, for we'll receive a reward for the good, and you shall receive, and he shall receive from, Okay, so Colossians 3:23, this is when I was going to bring this in. We did it earlier, and I'm messing it up right now. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, the reaping and the sowing, and when that occurs is at the judgment day of Christ. Any others we want to bring? I think, so let's just, we'll finish by reading 6 through 10 again there. All right, so Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Actually, we're going to do one more verse with that. Titus chapter 3. Okay, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Titus chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2 here. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 5, well, anyway, you can even keep reading there if you want to when you go back, but again, this whole, the last phrase there, especially unto them who are the household. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay? And I would look at us all and say, we're all part of that household of faith. All right? So we're all looking for ways to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Okay? So we'll pick it up in verse 11. Ye see then, for you see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hands. So he's going to transition to a whole new part now. Next week, beginning in verse 11. So we'll take a break there.